if you're fearful of it, like you're just thinking about it in a way that makes you fearful. So you probably need to think about it a different way so you can just stop being paralyzed. Because usually fear paralyzes and then there is no momentum. So
you're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Hey guys, this is Heaton Shaw and Steli Efti with our awesome podcast, the world's best business podcast, The Startup Chat. I don't know exactly what we've finally decided on, but we're still kind of coming up with the best possible name. And this time, I'm still in Europe traveling, and Heaton is in a car driving to... Where are you driving to, Heaton?
I'm actually on my way home.
Oh, that's nice. That's awesome. So from where? From where are you driving home?
So I came to San Francisco for a couple of meetings, and now I'm going back home. I live in the peninsula, which is between San Francisco and Palo Alto in the middle.
Awesome. It's midnight right now here in Berlin. I had a very full day of conference talks, workshops, meet and greets, hiring interviews, and now I'm at the kind of peak of my day, which is having the podcast with you before I walk my way over to the other apartment and hit the bed, hit the pillow.
That's awesome. So I'm assuming you guys have one apartment to work, one apartment to sleep.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. And you know what? Yeah. They do a big thing. Today they did a big thing in Berlin. They call Startup Safari, where they do open offices of all the startups. And everybody that wants to work at a startup can just go. They bus these people from startup office to startup office. And we got included in that. So people came and arrived at our Airbnb apartment, kind of saw a Silicon Valley startup work in a Berlin Airbnb loft.
They must have loved it. That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun. People definitely had fun, and we did so too. All right, what are we going to talk about today, Heaton? What do we want to talk about?
This is my topic, I guess, maybe. So I had this thing where I have a friend. And I was just hanging out with him on the weekend, which is usually rare for me. And he has a startup, and he's a company I invested in and I advise. And he's a longtime veteran at a sort of corporate company, but very startup-y thinking type person. And so he just started his company. His company is about 12 people. It started officially probably more like earlier this year, 4 months ago, let's say. And he made this comment, and he kept making this comment over like the last couple months I've known him. And I finally just came to a conclusion about it, and that's what I wanted to talk about. So he made this comment. His comment was, hey, it's my first time, and so, you know, I don't know, right? I mean, everything's crazy. I don't know. And he kept saying that every time he wanted my advice. And what it got me thinking is, because right now, specifically, I'm starting technically at least my fourth company. I probably lost count. but like, if you look at companies I can name, this is like technically the fourth one, although it's been around a little bit, but we're starting it. We're building a team. We're, you know, trying to actually build product and stuff like that. And all I could tell him, and I think he understood this now, because it just kept bugging me that he said it, is I told him, look, the feeling you have is the same exact feeling I have. I just don't say, oh, it's my first time. That's the only difference. And the feeling I'm talking about is when you start something new, you don't know anything. There's a lot of assumptions you're making, a lot of risk, a lot of uncertainty. And I think it's unnatural. And that's why we try to come to some sort of realization or conclusion or thought process around it in our heads. Like, oh, it's my first time. You know, and it's kind of like, I kind of told him, hey, dude, that feeling doesn't go away. Like every time you start something new, that's that dramatic of like involves that much uncertainty. You don't know. It's like having a baby, right? Like it's your first time having a baby. Okay. All right. Well, the second time you got two down, you know, like, what are you going to do?
And you know, the funny thing is this. There's a lot of beauty in that feeling when you're starting something new. Obviously, you know, the kind of, you don't have to deal with the messiness of something that's already been around for a while and grew and is messy in its history and has like bad decisions being made and all. You don't have to deal with any of that. It's kind of clean slate. So on the one side, it's kind of exciting and beautiful and fresh, and everything is kind of just potential and everything this could ever be. And you don't have to deal with all the problems that usually come down the line as you're growing something and seeing it evolve. But at the same time, you're nervous, right? And you don't know. And as you said, it's not like the second or third child, you're totally relaxed. And it's like, well, I already had two children, so who cares? You're still nervous. Obviously, you're a little bit more in routine and you know how to deal with certain situations, but there's still nervousness. There's still risks and there's a lot of unknowns and you still have to deal with that and face it every single time from you.
Yeah, and it's not like most people start companies every day. Most people don't even start companies every year. It's usually like every decade or half decade, you know, maybe every 3 years, some people. And so all kinds of things change. Like the way I would start a company, I started my first one, my second one, my third one, and even this one, it's all completely different. Even the way I think about it is different. But yet that feeling that it's uncertain and I don't know anything, it comes right back. And you're just like, oh, shit.
And also, let me ask you this, right? So a lot of times at the beginning, people think, well, this is the very first time I start a business. So obviously they're a little nervous and also insecure in their own opinions and decision making. And like, am I doing this right? Am I making the right choices? All that. And they look over to somebody like you, for instance, and they think, well, Heaton has done this multiple times. He's a veteran. He has certainty. He knows that every of his decisions is probably right. But let me ask you, like, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the pressure? Because you have a brand and you have done a few things very successfully. What are the pressures and insecurities you have? Are you plagued by thinking, this needs to be bigger than my last thing? Or I better have success with this because all these people are taking advice from me and I'm a known brand and I don't want to have a big failure. Like what is the side of the coin that people don't know about that you have to face as somebody that's been a veteran entrepreneur and also somebody that has a brand and is really well known and a lot of people look up to?
Yeah, I love that question. And I think, I don't know, in general, whenever I feel fear, so a lot of the things you said were fear, right? Like, oh, this won't be as large as Kissmetrics or Crazy Egg or whatever. I flip it around and say, no, that's not rational. Like, it's not that I don't know. I don't know. Like, I can't know right now if it's going to be bigger or better than the last one. All I can do is know that that's important to me and do something about it. So the way I think about it is like, okay, I actually think about what are the things that made, and this is if you have a last thing, but what are the things that made the last thing not as big as I wanted it to be? Because obviously I have a desire to make this one bigger. So, and what can I control right now to prevent that? You know? So that's one thing. Another thing I want to touch on is in the specific one I'm talking about, it's a company called Quick Sprout. It's my co-founder's blog. It's a very popular blog. And now, you know, now that he's developed it really far and we're even making some money, but not with software, it's sort of what I call my turn to come in and start building software because that's what I do and that's what I love to do. So we're building software and we first thought, oh, this might be like Crazy Egg. Let's go outsource the majority of the development because we actually outsource a lot of development at Crazy Egg for all kinds of reasons I won't get into in this show, but probably for another podcast. We thought we were going to run it like that, and we started running it like that, and then we realized, oh no, like there's all these issues with it. And if we do it like that, we might not be able to make it as big as we'd like, knowing what we know now. And so maybe we need to hire people in-house. We need to hire some people and actually deal with, you know, building a team and sort of, you know, getting these people to be part of the team and all that kind of stuff. So we actually just recently flipped the script. And now, like, we're thinking about more hiring internal people that are full-time people because it's a lot different. And I didn't think that just like 2 months ago. And I had to make all these changes all of a sudden. And we had to think about it a little bit differently. So, you know, that whole uncertainty, that whole feeling of like, oh, you could do it like you used, like you could take something you learned before and do it and not, and you know, and it's the same is totally a fallacy. Like we had to be open to change or I believe we would not be building the type of business we want to build. And so the past and your experience only tells you what you know. Or what you think you know. It doesn't really tell you anything else.
So let me ask you this. And you know what's funny? If you could see what I see right now, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. Because there's a bunch of people that came back. It's midnight. It's almost 1 a.m. in Berlin. And a bunch of my teammates came back. And it's hard to tell, but I would say that they had some alcohol in their system. There's one guy that's trying to stop them from doing stupid things and being loud because they know we're recording a podcast. And then there's a group of people that are fighting that good force. It's good versus evil right in front of me right now. All right, so enough of that distraction. So let me ask you something else. I had a discussion today. I did a sales workshop for startups in Berlin, and they were asking a lot about kind of the – Like, why are we all trying to avoid to do the messy things early on? Why we're all like spending all this time coming up with a logo and a nice new brand, setting up the blog, doing research, putting together PowerPoint slides instead of going out and talking to customers, trying to close a customer before we've built something, trying to go out there in the real world as quickly as possible and do the things that don't scale, quote unquote, and that might be a little unpleasant versus just sitting in front of your screen and doing the things that are cool and exciting and safe and nice. And just by asking that question, I mean, in the phrasing of the question, there are a lot of the answers there already, but that's something that's fascinating me about, like, when you start fresh, there's always the danger of spending too much time on things that are comfortable. Like, how do you think about that? What's your advice to people that are thinking of making that leap, taking that step, starting something new? Doesn't matter if it's the very first time that they start something or it's the second or tenth time, but the danger with new being not wanting to face reality in the real world and spending too much time on things that might not truly matter. What's your thinking on that?
Yeah. I mean, as a salesperson, I think you can probably guess my thinking, but I'll let you talk about that perspective, because I know you have a perspective on it. But from my perspective, I call myself a professional purple bruise poker. So if I see a purple bruise, I just want to poke it. I want to push. I want to touch it. I want you to have pain, right? And the reason for that is, if there's a bruise, if there's something that's hard and painful that you're just not willing to do, it's likely that you should be doing it. And so to me, it's just about finding that thing that's hard to do and doing that. And I think when you're starting out, and even to that question you got, it's so easy to do these things that aren't even bruises. These things that don't even matter, because like they're not hard, and you're just avoiding the hard thing. The hard thing is getting a customer to pay you money without a product. But the right thing to do is doing that.
So when you say hard, I think we have to differentiate between complex and hard, right? So there's things that people want to do that are complex, meaning they're intellectually interesting, and let's set something up that's really hard and or that is intellectually complex. But then there's things that are hard, and hard really oftentimes speaks to the emotional side more than to the rational side of things. Hard is going to somebody and not just saying, do you like my idea, but saying, are you willing to give me money? Right? And then seeing somebody look at you and go, no, I kind of like it, but not enough to want to give you money for it. Right? Hey, my man, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I thought I lost you for a second. You know, driving the car, I wasn't sure. So I think that heart is speaking to the, like, jumping over your fears, going over your discomfort internally, over your hesitations, doing things of facing reality, facing rejection, seeing people tell you they don't like what you have, or they're not understanding how to use the product, versus talking about things theoretically in a way that is safe and allows a lot of people to just tell you that they like you and they want to support you. And yes, keep going on with this awesome idea of yours, but really nothing has been accomplished in that conversation other than you getting some like false encouragement.
I'm going to give a really dumb way to think about this. Like, it's super dumb.
Awesome.
But it works for me.
I love
dumb. Really dumb. It's really dumb.
Good.
The dumb way I think about this is, every business needs customers.